I think it must be just about the most universal human experience. Love, of course, is one of the great human emotions, as the more than £1 billion spent in the UK on Valentine's Day shows. But not everyone finds love. One thing I looked at this week said that suffering and sickness are the universal human experiences. But it does seem to me that some people do manage to sail through life with minimal experience of either. But there is one thing that is inescapable. Temptation. Somewhere along the line, every one of us experiences it. Usually in our society, it's seen as something not terribly serious. You know, the odd naughty but nice thing. But it can be so much more than that. And I'm pretty sure that each of us here will at some time have known that desire to do something we know we shouldn't, but which we know as well we want to do. And for many people in our society, maybe for some of us, there have been that experience of giving in and then finding that it becomes that much easier to give in next time and the next time until you feel that you're trapped. I think it is a universal human experience. And it was certainly just about the first recorded human experience. Back at the beginning of it all, recorded in Genesis 3, God had created a beautiful world with everything people could need for their enjoyment. Adam and Eve lived in the garden, the garden paradise of Eden. They were at peace with themselves, with each other, and at peace with God. And then the devil entered, disguised as a serpent. He sidles up to Eve and says words to the effect of, "I know that God said you mustn't eat the fruit from that tree, but doesn't it look good? What harm could there be in just tasting it?" And Eve thought, yes, it does look good. And she took the fruit. But you see, the real temptation wasn't eat the fruit. The real temptation was, do what you want rather than what God wants. And ever since then, the same thing's been going on. We are all caught up in it. Oscar Wilde once said, "I can resist anything except temptation." And we're just the same. Because not only do we all experience temptation, we all give in to temptation. In the words of Martin Luther, we are not able not to sin. So, before we actually get into Psalm 141, let's just pause for a moment. When was the last time you were aware of being tempted? It's interesting, people on this side of church are very much keeping their temptations to themselves. People on this side of this church are much more keen to discuss them. But you see, the thing is, for some people here this evening, actually temptation might be a painful subject. Statistically, it is almost certain that there will be people here tonight who are really struggling with a particular temptation and who feel that they are trapped in a situation, unable to resist and being dragged down by that. So statistically, 12 of us here, it's almost certain that some of us are in that situation. I have to say there'll be others here who'll be thinking that actually they're doing okay. But let me warn you, if you feel like that, it is almost certainly because you've become blind to temptation. You give in without even realizing what's going on. But for all of us, if we want to resist temptation, we need to pray. And some evenings we're doing this series where we're looking at some of the Psalms and seeing how the Psalms give us words that we can use as we pray. Help us to actually bring our lives into God's presence. And this evening, as Jeremy said, we're going to be looking at Psalm 141. Because Psalm 141 is a great psalm. if you're facing temptation and want to know what you can say and pray as you bring that to God. So, let's turn now to Psalm 141. Anne's going to come and read for us.
Psalm 141 is on page 629 of the Pew Bibles. A Psalm of David. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one ploughs and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. This is the word of the Lord.
I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. So I wonder what your reaction is to temptation. I'm not talking about those things that our society so often calls temptation. That cream cake that is going to ruin your diet. Let's not worry about things like that. How about when you're tempted to do what you want to do rather than what God wants? You see, I think that if we're honest, all too often we are a bit ambivalent about it. I know I shouldn't, but actually I'd quite like to. There's a poem by the Christian poet Steve Turner which begins, "Lead me into temptation just one more time. Just one more drink binge. Just one more porno website. Just one more fiddled expenses sheet. Just one more fill in your own dots here. And then, of course, I'll never ever do it again." If that's how you are, then I'm afraid that actually this psalm has nothing for you. You see, if you want God's help, you can't play that sort of game. This psalm is for people who know how tough it is, but above all, just want to please God. It's as though David is saying, I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me, because I need your help now. But if you are serious, what is it that you should be asking God for? I think the first thing that Psalm 141 tells us to ask God for, maybe most obviously, is ask God to protect you where you are vulnerable. I wonder where you'd expect someone to start when they are thinking about temptation. There's a story of a junior devil who was once sent to tempt a godly hermit out in the desert. First, he made a banquet of wonderful food and drink appear, but the hermit would not be tempted. Then, he made a beautiful, seductive woman appear, but the hermit just closed his eyes and would not be tempted. So the junior devil went back to his boss and said, "That hermit just can't be tempted." The senior devil smiled and said, "Really?" Then he went to the hermit and whispered in his ear, "Great news! Your younger brother has just been made archbishop." And immediately, the hermit was consumed with jealousy. You see, the temptations we need to be aware of are the subtle ones. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. How easily we can sin with our words. That little white lie to get yourself out of trouble. That thing you were told in confidence that you unthinkingly pass on. That bit of gossip. That criticism of someone behind their back. That insult. That crude joke. That burst of anger. That swear word. No wonder the book of James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. So what do you do about your words? I guess that often we wouldn't even think of those things as being seriously wrong. Or if we do realize that our bursts of anger are wrong, we try to let ourselves off the hook. It's just the way that I am. I had a bad night last night. Oh, people have been winding me up. But David knows how vulnerable he is, and that that is where he needs help. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. I actually think that would be a very good prayer for every one of us to pray every morning when we get up. But there's another way in which we are vulnerable. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. You see, it is so tough when your friends all do something that you kind of know is wrong, but they don't worry about it at all because they don't see anything wrong with it. And they kind of expect you to join in. Years ago, we had a friend called Rob, who was a ferry pilot down in Felixstowe. He discovered that each month, when the other pilots filled in their timesheet, they overclaimed by several hours, and the management turned a blind eye to it. And Rob was expected to go along with what the rest did. Even the management wanted him to go along with what the rest did, because if he only claimed what he'd actually done, how could the rest keep claiming more? There was going to be big trouble. Rob still refused, and there was big trouble. For others, it will come maybe not in a work situation, but a leisure one. Yep, we're going to see this psychic tonight. Are you going to come? Yeah, I know people who've been put in that situation, and it's difficult because all your friends just can't see that there's anything wrong with it. There is something wrong. We don't think of those things as evil. But in the sense that they're against God's commands, that's just what they were. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. David could see where he was vulnerable. And over many years, I've kind of had a theory that every Christian has an Achilles heel when it comes to temptation. And if you know you've got an Achilles heel, that's where you need to be protected. Ask God to protect you where you're vulnerable. But the second thing the psalm says, encourages us to pray, is ask God for faithful friends. You see, I think that Psalm 141, verse 5, might just be the most challenging prayer in the Bible. Let a righteous man strike me, that's a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil to my head. Lord, please give me someone who will tell me that I'm going wrong. Would you dare to pray that? Let a righteous man strike me. And that's very clever, because that is just what it feels like to have a friend point your sin out to you. It feels like being slapped. But this guy is so determined to resist temptation that he's even willing to ask God to use another person to help him. And of course, that's how God does so often work. He uses his people to bless one another. I get discouraged at times, and sometimes I ask the Lord for something to encourage me, and more often than not, if he's going to answer that prayer, it'll be by someone saying something to encourage me. I guess that others here could testify to that sort of thing, when the Lord sends someone to help you just when you need it. But if we accept that sort of thing from the Lord, we should be willing to accept this far less comfortable way he uses other people. Let a righteous man strike me, that's a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. So, do you know that you struggle maybe with drink? And one day I see you going into Wetherspoons and I say, not a good idea going in there. You know you'll end up drinking too much. Or I kind of somehow discover that you've been involved in an unhelpful relationship, and I take you to one side and I warn you of the dangers. Or I hear you talking about someone behind their back and I say to you, you know, you really shouldn't say those sort of things. It is not what God would want you to do. I wonder how you'd react. I wonder if you would tell me to mind my own business. I wonder if you'd ever come back to Christchurch. But if you're serious about resisting temptation, you have to be willing to ask God to give you other people who will challenge you, even if it hurts. And then you have to be willing to accept that challenge. Let a righteous man strike me, that's a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that's oil on my head will not refuse it. And thirdly, and most importantly, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Verse 8, but my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Because you see, sin is like death. And in the face of temptation, only the Lord can give us life. And that means that we desperately, desperately need to keep our eyes fixed on him. Long after this psalm was written, the Lord Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness. And the devil came with three very subtle temptations. But Jesus resisted him. If you read about it in Luke's gospel, just before that, Luke gives us this list, Jesus' family tree, 75 generations. 75 generations after Adam and Eve, finally, temptation was resisted. Only Jesus has ever been able to do that. And our only hope of resisting temptation is to keep very close to him, to take refuge in him. Or, of course, as Jesus puts it in John 15, in our theme verse for the year, we need to remain in him. And, of course, this is where temptation so often strikes. You're just a bit too busy today to read the Bible. You just say, I know you want to, but you just haven't got time, have you? Oh, I think I'll give church a miss today. I'm feeling a bit tired. Certainly don't have time to go to church twice on a Sunday. All very reasonable things, but all very dangerous. But my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Temptation is a universal experience, and so is giving in to temptation, I'm afraid. And the good news is that because the Lord Jesus did resist the devil, he was the one who could die for our failings. So even if we have given in and sinned, we have a way of forgiveness that is guaranteed. We must not let that drag us down. But we also have this prayer, a prayer which we can use when we face temptation, as we seek God's grace for our lives.